Hello everyone, it's so good to be with you. I do know some of you, so it's lovely to just see you again. I had a few problems printing off my notes, so I'm gonna have to just be looking at my phone. I've got my notes on my phone, so if you're wondering what on earth I'm doing, that's what I'm doing. Okay, firstly, a big thank you to those of you who have organised this and for the lovely goodie bags that went round. I've certainly been enjoying that. So thank you to everyone for all the hard work you've put into this. It's such a lovely thing, isn't it, to get together at Christmas time. And I think more than ever, we're just longing to be together in some form. I know I'm going to go home to my parents in Cambridgeshire, and I'm going to see my sister and her children. I've got three teenage nieces, and my nieces have got to the age where all they want is gift cards. They don't want me to buy them presents because I'm clearly not cool enough to know what they would like. So they have asked me for gift cards. And I recently bought one from New Look for one of my nieces. And I noticed that it said on the gift card, no value until activated at till. And I thought, that's interesting. So what it means is that until my niece takes that gift card to the shop, hands it in at the till, it has no value at all. But if she does, she will get clothes for free because I'm the one who's paid for them. But she still has to hand that voucher over, doesn't she, at the till in order to get those clothes for nothing. And another word we use for that is to redeem a gift card. And I love that word redeem. It's a word that's at the centre of the Bible, and it's what I want to talk to you about today. And it means something similar to what I've described, but it is a bit different, the meaning in the Bible. It basically means the payment of a price to buy something back. The payment of a price to buy something back. And this brings me to Christmas, because this is what Christmas is all about. We all know that at Christmas time, we celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ, his birth. And it's just so good to sing that carol just then, because it was such good news that Jesus came. And we're going to look at why it's such good news that he came. And it's that question, why? Why did he come? Why did Jesus have to come? And the answer is this. It's very simple. He came to redeem. So what exactly did he come to redeem? Again, the answer is simple, you and me. He came to redeem us. Obviously, not just us, but humankind. He came to exchange his life for ours. And I just want to try and explain this with a story. There was once upon a time a little boy who borrowed his father's tools, and he made himself this boat. He put so much love and care and attention into making this little boat, a little toy boat. And the day finally came when he could test it out on the lake. It was the moment of truth. Would the boat float? And it floated, and it worked beautifully. And this little boy would spend hours and hours playing with this boat on the lake, until one day a big gust of wind came along and the boat disappeared out of sight, and he looked everywhere for it and could not find it. So he was very sad because he just loved that boat. But then one day when he was walking in the town, to his surprise, he saw his very own unique boat in a shop window. And he rushed into the shop and he said to the shopkeeper, "That's my boat. I made it." And the shopkeeper said, "Well, it belongs to me now. So if you want it, you will have to pay for it." And of course, the little boy didn't hesitate. He loved that boat so much. He paid for it. And as he was walking out of the shop, he was saying to himself, "Twice mine. I made it and I bought it." Now, the reason I tell this story that some of you may have heard before is that we are a bit like that boat. God made us, all of us, but every single one of us has turned our back on him. We've gone away from him by sinning. Which one of us can say that all of our thoughts, words, actions, let alone our motives, are completely pure? Like, that's never the case, is it? If we're honest with ourselves, you know, we cannot say that we are without sin. And the thing about sin is that it doesn't just break God's law, it breaks our relationship with him. And that's the important thing. Because of sin, we are barred from God because he is so pure and holy and we are not. But just as the little boy loved the boat that he made, God loves each one of us who is made. And he loves us so much that he has also paid to have us back again. And so this brings us back to what we celebrate at Christmas. How did he do this? How did God buy us back again? There was only one way that he could do this. And that was by sending his own precious son, Jesus Christ, to do so. That is why Jesus Christ came as a baby over 2,000 years ago. Because I asked the question at the beginning, didn't I? Why did he come? He came to redeem us. And so Jesus Christ, who is God, became a baby. He's always existed. So when he became a baby, he was both God and man. And he lived a perfect, sinless life. As I said, none of us can do that, but he could because he was God as well as man. And this was the only way in which God could get us back. At the age of 33, Jesus Christ dies on a cross. Why? Because this was the plan. This was how we were going to be redeemed and brought back. And so he gives his perfect life as a sacrifice to pay for our sin. Now, one of the apostles, Peter, explains this in one of his letters, which he writes to the churches. He says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." So we could not be, you know, we have this huge debt. Sin, we are barred from God, we have this broken relationship with him, and so God is having to pay the price to repair that relationship, and that means dealing with our sin. Only one person could deal with our sin, only one person could take it away, and that was the one who was without sin, who was perfect, and there was only one, and that was Jesus Christ. So when he dies on the cross, he is paying with his sinless life for all of our sins. He is carrying our sins upon himself and paying for them. And he's described as a lamb in those verses. It says a lamb without blemish or defect, because before Jesus came, what happened when the people sinned? They had to keep sacrificing lambs, but not just any lamb, a lamb with no fault, no blemish, spotless. And of course, these lambs couldn't really take away sin, which is why they had to keep offering them. But they all pointed to the Lamb, Jesus Christ, who was going to come, who would be spotless, sinless, and who would pay for sin once and for all. But of course, it wasn't just about Jesus physically dying. That was one thing. It was a terrible, terrible death that he died. But the more important thing was that Jesus was being punished for our sin on the cross. Another way of putting it is that he suffered our hell on the cross. He was being punished by God the Father, not for his sin, because there was none, but for ours. He was doing that for us and in our place. And, you know, sometimes I think about, like, and I'm talking a lot about sin just because we need to realize how costly it was for Jesus Christ to pay for our sin. You know, sin is not just a small thing. You know, when we offend, you know, who knows, someone in our family, someone in the workplace, even some of the most terrible crimes, the worst thing about sin is that it offends God, that we are shaking our fist at God and saying, I don't want you. You've made me, but I don't care about you. I don't want you in my life. Sin is very serious because of the one that we are sinning against. We're sinning against an infinitely holy God. And that's why it's serious. So for God to actually be the one sinned against and then to find the means to pay for that is just mind blowing. But this is what it's all about at Christmas. God sending his son as the one who would pay the price. And there's a beautiful, beautiful passage in Isaiah. Old Testament, there was a prophet called Isaiah, and he prophesied about the death of Jesus Christ hundreds of years before it actually happened, which is amazing because he prophesied exactly some incredible details about what would happen to Jesus on the cross. And he wrote this, and I think this describes brilliantly and beautifully exactly what was happening on the cross when Jesus died. And remember, it wasn't just about his physical death, it was about being punished for our sin. So he writes this. This is Isaiah. And by the way, he uses a couple of words that also mean similar things, transgression and iniquity. It's other words for sins. But he, Jesus Christ, was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity or the sin of us all. So that makes it really clear, doesn't it, that Jesus was paying for our sin on the cross. And that's why Jesus is called our Redeemer. That's how he redeemed us. And we're going to come back at the end to what that means, that because he's paid, that we can then have a restored relationship with God. But before we come to that, I just want to make it really clear. In Romans 3:24, it says we are justified freely. Okay, important word, freely. By his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. So this verse is making it really, really clear. Like, we don't pay anything towards being forgiven or being made just in God's sight, sins washed away. It's totally undeserved. It's by his grace. It's just everything's been done by Christ and given as a free gift. And that's the definition of a gift, isn't it? A gift is always free. And I think it would be extremely strange, if not offensive, if someone gave you a Christmas present and you said to them, well, how much do I owe you? You know, that would actually be quite offensive, wouldn't it? But people think they can do that with God. God is saying, no, I'm offering you something. I've done everything. Jesus has done it all. He's paid it all. There's nothing more to pay. And yet people think that they can somehow earn God's forgiveness, that they can somehow be worthy or merit what Jesus has done. And that's just impossible. We can't do anything to add to or earn this forgiveness from God. It is a gift and it's free. But just because Jesus has paid it does not mean everyone automatically benefits from it. That's really important. You know, because people can say, well, Jesus has paid for sin, so that's great. No. Just as when you are offered a present, you have to receive it. You have to take it, don't you? You have to open it. You have to receive it. And, you know, I don't know what you're hoping for this Christmas 2020, but what I do know is Jesus is offering you the most amazing gift. But will you receive it? Will you receive it? It's being offered to you. And we're just going to look at very briefly then at what it means to receive it. Jesus has done it. How can we receive it? Because that's the important bit. There's a very well-known verse in the Bible, in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16. And it says, "For God so loved the world." You know, this was his motive all the way along in sending Jesus. "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." Okay, so the key word there is believes. That is how we receive the gift of forgiveness that God is offering to us. And I just want to explain what that means, because I think it can be misunderstood. The word believe, and it is believes in him, that's Jesus Christ. So believing involves three things. Firstly, it involves knowledge. In order to believe in something, you have to know about it and understand it, don't you? So what we need to know and understand is, firstly, we are sinners and Jesus Christ is the only saviour. Okay, so that's really important that we understand who he is and what he's done and why we need him. So that's the first thing, knowledge, to know about this. Secondly, conviction. Okay, you can understand something and reject it. But to really believe in Jesus, you have to both understand and be convinced that it's true. So conviction. And then lastly, the third thing, trust. So often people stop at the first two. They're like, yeah, I know it and I believe it's true. And then they don't go any further. And that's really sad, because it's like even receiving the gift, but not even opening it. Trust is like the essence. It means coming to Jesus and asking him to personally forgive you of your sin. And it means, I'm saying this just to give you an idea of what it might mean to come and receive this gift of forgiveness. And what it requires is actually coming to God, receiving it through prayer. And I would say the best thing is to just be yourself and just talk to God naturally. And it doesn't have to be the right words, but it does have to be from the heart. But there's three words that I think are helpful to remember if we are coming to personally receive God's forgiveness. The first word is thank you, saying to God, "Thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sin. Thank you." Secondly, sorry. I'm sorry. Saying to God, "I'm sorry for sinning against you." And then thirdly, please forgive me. So thank you, sorry. Please forgive me for all of my sin. And now help me to live for you. Because what happens, and you know, it's different for all of us. It's absolutely different. But what happens when we receive this gift of forgiveness is that we enter into relationship with God. And this is where I've been, you know, coming to. This is the climax. The reason God has done all this is because he loves us and he wants a relationship with us. And so when our sin is taken away, we can have that relationship restored with him. And it means that our life will take a new direction, because we want to love God. We love him. He loves us, and follow him. And if any of you say, well, and I've heard people say this, well, God wouldn't want to forgive me. You know, why would God want a relationship with me? You don't know what I'm like. You don't know what I've done. Well, in this verse we read, it does say whoever. It's anyone, whoever. No one can be too bad. Jesus has paid for the worst of sins. And this invitation is open to whoever. And you can put your name there. Because Jesus died for individuals. It's not just a general thing. He died for individuals. And so, yeah. And then just the last bit of that verse, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life, or eternal life. It's the same thing. So, yes, our sins are paid for. Our relationship with God is restored. And, you know, this is what he wants us to spend forever with him in heaven. That's the whole point, to be with him forever. And that is everlasting life. And that is the most fulfilling, satisfying relationship you could ever, ever, ever be in, because we're made to have that relationship with him. But I must draw it to a close and just ask you this. Why wouldn't you want this gift that is freely being offered to you in Jesus Christ? Jesus has paid for our sins. He invites us to everlasting joy with him. So that's one option. The other option is that we reject his payment for our sin. And what that means is we pay for our sin ourselves, and there is no everlasting life to look forward to, but everlasting condemnation, because I said earlier, our sin is so serious that that is what our sin is worthy of. That is the penalty of our sin. And so it's really, really important that we don't just kind of say, oh, okay, that's interesting. No, this is about eternity. This is vital. And I have to say, life is fragile. Like, why would we wait till tomorrow when Jesus is offering us this today and we can receive his eternal life today? So I just want to put that out as a, please don't ignore this. You know, yes, we have all the other joys of Christmas, but this is the crux of it. Jesus came to buy us back into a relationship with God, and he offers it to each one of us. So please consider this seriously, and don't delay in receiving his gift. Can I just say as well, this little leaflet thing that, for those, imagine everyone got the goodie bag, is absolutely brilliant. So it just re-emphasizes this message. And so I really recommend you reading that as well. Thank you so much.